you said I didn't punch her. It was an accident. I hit her with my elbow.
A breakup goes bad.
The night we got into an argument, Jonna was intoxicated. She attacked me from behind. I threw my arm back out of reflex and said, Jonna, get off of me. And when I did, I struck her in the face.
Does his tale have a fighting chance?
Is what he just told me accurate?
That's a complete total lie, Your Honor.
Did you hurt her?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Jonna Paytak is suing her ex-boyfriend, Brandon Baxter, for a loan to bury his father, the return of a camper, and for punching her in the mouth during an argument.
Order. All rise.
Now it's case number 30 on the calendar, matter Paytak versus Baxter.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated, sir. Have a seat.
Ms. Paytak, the defendant is your former boyfriend. You lived together for a period of time. You no longer live together, and the separation, according to what I read, was not a happy one.
That's correct.
You claim that the defendant at some point borrowed some money from you. The money was for his father's funeral.
That's correct.
And he was supposed to pay you back.
That's correct.
Then you claim when you asked him for the money and there was some discussion about money, the argument became heated and he assaulted you and you were injured. You want him to pay, I think there were dental bills that you had.
That's correct.
And then the third part of your complaint has to do with a camper, which is the least interesting for me because you live in one jurisdiction, he lives in another jurisdiction, he has the camper, you want the camper, and it's going to cost money to transport the camper. You want him to pay for the camper. That's not happening. You understand? You want the camper? I don't think he even cares about the camper because I think you bought it. She bought it, right?
Yes.
If she bought it, it's her camper. So if she wants to come and get it, you can go and get it, but he's not transporting it. Is that fair?
Well,
you left.
I told him not to take it from the state of Maryland.
I got proof to show that she's lying.
If you want it, he knows it's yours. Go get it. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. And you can do that within 5 days. If you don't get it, I don't know where it is. Where is it now?
It's in Texas.
Texas. And where do you live?
New York. Binghamton, New York.
Where in New York?
Binghamton area. Vestal.
She's had since January to get it.
Just a second.
Yes, ma'am.
It wasn't in Binghamton, right?
It was in the state of Maryland when it was taken.
It wasn't in Binghamton.
That's correct.
Okay, so now we've dealt with the camper. You have 5 days to get it. Let's deal with the money. When did your father pass away, Mr. Baxter?
July 12th, last year.
And you and Miss Paytak were together?
Yes, ma'am.
You needed money for his burial or cremation?
Yes, ma'am, but I did not borrow it. I came home from work one evening and Jonna, out of remorse, had put my father's cremation on a credit card.
And was this a credit card that you also paid?
No, ma'am.
So it's her debt?
Yes, ma'am.
And if she didn't do that, what were you going to do with your father?
It was undecided. I was saving up
undecided.
Money.
Undecided. Well, undecided saving. I mean, you can save up for an engagement ring, you can save up for a car, but it's kind of hard to say, I'm going to save up for a cremation.
We were using the money that I had to live on.
So what? That was your arrangement.
We couldn't go without food to bury my father.
Were you working?
Yes, ma'am.
How long did you and the plaintiff live together?
Approximately 8 months.
And during that time, were you working?
The whole time.
Was she working?
No, ma'am.
So that was your arrangement. She wasn't working. You worked.
Yes, ma'am.
It's still your debt.
Yes, ma'am.
Good. Perfect. How much was it?
It was $900 and change. I have the receipt.
I'd like to see it. Are you working now?
I am.
Why weren't you working when you were living with Mr. Baxter?
I was on a 6-month medical leave. My doctor had taken me out of work. I had worked for 5 years for an insurance company in Vestal. And I had a $5,000 IRA that was also used for living off of.
What is this, Karn, South Houston? What is that?
This is the funeral home. This is the actual
I'd like to see that.
Information
I don't know what
about
this is. Okay, and you paid this on July 22nd, 2013. Is that
That's
right?
That's correct.
And when did you and the defendant separate?
It was August 22nd was the date when he struck me in the face. So, yes, I left right after
okay,
that.
Okay, so $971. Now,
Your Honor, she claims that I punched her.
No, we're going to get to that. I read what you said.
Yes, ma'am.
You said I didn't punch her. It was an accident. I hit her with my elbow.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you hurt her?
Yes, ma'am, I did, but it was out of just reflex. She attacked me from behind as I was leaving out.
Tell me what she did.
We had a dog together, and the night we got into an argument, Jonna was intoxicated. I contacted her father and told her father that he needed to help me do something with her, that I could no longer do it. She hung up on her father because he wanted to talk to her to try to talk some sense into her. Whenever I went to leave the camper, I grabbed the dog, and as I was going out the door, she attacked me from behind and was clawing my neck and my eye. I threw my arm back out of reflex and said, "Johnna, get off of me." And when I did, I struck her in the face. I didn't realize I was bleeding until after the cops came. I called the cops.
I have the police.
Just a second. I want you to be very careful, because I'm usually a pretty good barometer of whether a story makes sense to me or not.
Mm-hmm.
So far, you've been pretty successful with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is what he just told me accurate?
That's a complete, total lie, Your Honor.
Am I going to see a police report that shows that he had blood on his elbow?
I'm not sure if it will state.
Great. Then I'm going to look at it.
But I have the police report. There was a witness, too. There's a statement in there from the witness.
Of a police report?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to take a look.
I showed in court, and Johnna did not. It was dismissed.
The witness didn't see this incident. She saw you bleeding from the map, but she didn't see the incident. Well, Mr. Baxter, the story that you just told me is different from what the police said. Baxter stated that he had been in a bar with Paddock. They drove back to the camper. There was a fight. Baxter stated that Paddock was holding his dog carelessly, so he tried to get the dog from her. Baxter stated that his elbow struck Paddock in the mouth while he was trying to get the dog away from her. That's a totally different story than you just told me.
Obviously, there was a miscommunication between me and the cops.
Yeah. Well, and then Baxter stated that Paddock began to strangle herself.
That was so that she would have...
Okay, well, I want you to tell me your version of what happened.
Okay, so we had gone out to a bar. We were both drinking. That is correct. We did get into an argument about some stuff he was choosing to do that I didn't agree with. And we went back to the camper, and I said, "I think it'd be best if you left tonight and didn't stay here." He refused to leave without the dog, which he says is his dog. It's my dog. He was trying to grab my dog out of my arms while he was choking me, "Let the dog go, let the dog go, let the dog go." And I was, you know, the witness heard it, the police got called. As he was choking me, his hand came up and struck me in the face like that. And I have pictures from the orthodontist of what my face
looks
like.
Just tell me what the bill was from the orthodontist.
$1,757.50.
Okay, so this is your problem, Mr. Baxter. You tell a convincing story to me today, and I could actually visualize her jumping on your back and you going like this to get her off your back. The only problem is there's nothing in your narrative to the police that night that remotely suggests that you were acting in self-defense. Nothing. That story is not there at all.
Your Honor, that was a wild night,
sir, and in your time to reflect, you may have come up with this story.
When Johnna doesn't
but
get
that
her
night,
way.
But that night, when memories were fresher, the disturbance had to do with the dog, and there was not one mention, because what your defense is self-defense, there's not one mention of her hurting you. Scratching your face, clawing at, which is what you say, and there is no indication by the police that there were any marks on you. Forget marks, because it's possible that there weren't any. But no statement from you that you were acting in self-defense. So you have to pay her dental bill, and you have to pay her the $971 to bury your father, because it's not her father.
And she's not my child. I didn't raise her, Your Honor. I didn't take her to raise.
27, 20. Of course she's not your child,
sir. I took care of her the
whole time
we were together.
She's also not your punching bag. 27-28. Judgment for the plaintiff. That's all.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Parties are excused and may step up.
I'm glad it's over with.
Well, I'm very happy.
It was a wild night.
It came down to some activities he was choosing to do that I didn't agree with, and it just came to fruition that night.
I don't know what she's talking about. She's ridiculous.
If you're in a relationship and the man is verbally abusive, get out of it, because the verbal could turn physical, which happened to me.
Time to move on.
Cut your losses.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Clark versus Stryhars. Step forward.
Attorney David Clark is suing his former client, Jason Stryhars, for unpaid attorney fees and punitive damages for harassment and extortion.
Mr. Stryhars, I'm going to start with you, sir. You were arrested for a crime. When?
This was in July 8th, 2013.
And what was the nature of that crime?
It was a child endangerment.
Tell me the circumstances surrounding the arrest, because there's already been a conviction in that case. You took
Correct.
A plea in that case. You served your sentence in that case. So there's nothing that you need protection from.
Sure.
Tell me the circumstances of that case.
It was pretty simple. At 5 a.m., I had the SWAT team come to my house. They checked my house. They found a loaded shotgun in a dresser drawer. It was not cocked. It had the safety on. I was arrested.
So they found the shotgun in your dresser drawer?
Correct.
That was a SWAT team?
Correct.
There was something more to that story that you're not telling me.
Right. Basically, what happened was me and my wife, my fiance, we were having a custody dispute. This was going on for months. She was not winning. She showed some YouTube videos of me shooting machine guns.
Okay. So during this custody dispute, in order to, according to what you say, in order to get a leg up, is it your ex-wife?
It's my ex-fiance.
With whom you have a child?
Yes.
One child?
Three.
Three children. You couldn't make up your mind after the first
Something
one
like that
this wasn't right?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
The day that I go to turn myself into jail, he sits next to me and he says, "You know what, Jason, I thought about this more and we could have beat these charges."
So?
So it's a slap in the face. I asked him 10
Jason,
times.
Jason, grow up!
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Attorney David Clark says former client Jason Streihars owes for unpaid fees, harassment, and extortion. Jason is countersuing for the return of the fees he's already paid.
Okay, so she had some videos of you that were controversial, to say the least. And based upon her showing those to authorities, you were arrested.
Yes.
And I assume that one of the reasons you were arrested, if you were arrested for child endangerment, that there were children in these photos.
There was one photo. I took a picture with my daughter. There was a shotgun in the background. It was unloaded, and that was the photo. Yep.
There was a photo of you and your daughter and a shotgun, and based on that, you want me to believe that they came with a SWAT team and charged
you? No, it was the videos. It was the videos. There were YouTube videos of me shooting machine guns in Arizona. Correct.
Whatever it was. You took a plea to what, sir?
Two counts of child endangerment, and the other count, I'm not really even sure of.
Fine. You retained, after you were arrested.
Correct.
And in custody, you retained Mr. Clark, who is an attorney, to represent you. And the two of you had a discussion with regard to fee. What fee did you agree to pay Mr. Clark?
Preliminary would be $3,000.
Preliminarily, $3,000 was his retainer. That's what we call a retainer.
Correct.
Did you pay him the $3,000?
I paid him $2,000 out of the three.
And other than Mr. Clark, did you have any other lawyer?
On this case, no.
On this case is the only case we're talking about. On this case, only Mr. Clark represented you.
When I went to the arraignment, I was represented by a public defender, where I ran into Mr. Clark at court.
So they court-assigned you a lawyer just for the purposes of entering a not guilty plea.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And then you retained Mr. Clark.
Exactly.
So other than this public defender who was there just for the purpose of arraignment, Mr. Clark was the only lawyer that you had.
Yes.
Fine. From start to finish. And you agreed to pay him $3,000. You only gave him two.
Correct.
Why did you only give him two?
I feel he voided the contract.
No. Then he has a retainer agreement. His retainer agreement says he wants $3,000.
Correct.
To represent you for the preliminaries of your case. If it goes to trial, there was an additional figure, correct?
Correct.
And how much was that additional figure?
$5,000.
$5,000. So you know, going right up front, the fee preliminarily was $3,000.
Correct.
Why did you only give him two?
Because I feel he voided it.
No, you keep saying that, sir. Not what you feel today as you're standing here.
Mm-hmm.
Then, in order for him to take your case, he wanted $3,000. Did you say to him, "I need some more time to get the other $1,000"?
He initially told me I could pay $1,500 up front. I paid another $500 the second court date.
So that you were telling him, "I can't get it all together right
Correct.
Now.
Correct.
I'll pay." Well, that's what I want to hear. Okay. I don't want to hear you.
Sure.
I think he voided the contract.
Yeah.
So the reason that you didn't give him his full $3,000 retainer was because you didn't have it all at once.
I did not want to pay it all at once.
Or didn't want to pay it all at once.
Yes.
Whatever, but you knew that that was your commitment.
Correct.
That's what your case is about. I don't care about the other part of it. The other part of it is nonsense, sir. I don't care about the other part of it, the other nonsense part. So he owes you on your retainer $3,000.
Sure.
He paid you two.
Yes.
Great.
However, Your Honor, that's not the reason why we're here. It's not an attorney suing his former client because he needs the money or breach of contract. It wasn't until Mr. Streishard was released from custody that he sent me a text message where he essentially said, "Pay me back my $2,000. I've done..."
You have a client that left you not happy.
That's what he said.
Just a second.
Yes.
Who cares? I don't care. And you don't care. Well, and all the other things that you wrote in here, Mr. Clark, you want to discuss them in front of 10 million people?
Not necessarily.
I have absolutely no problem discussing all the other facts that you want to discuss about what he said to you and what he accused you of.
Sure.
You want to get involved with that? I'm more than happy to do that.
Everyone has secrets, and I've always been open about, you know, my past, and it is what it is. You know, I'm still qualifying to practice law.
Mr. Clark, that's totally up to you. I'm prepared to give you $1,000. That's what he owes you. That's what his agreement was.
It's open and shut.
You want to go into all the other accusations he made against you? It's your business.
Okay, I'll dismiss that claim. Unless you want to get into it. I'm willing to get into it, Your Honor.
That's totally up to you. You want to get into it? He's going to get into it.
Excuse me.
I have other things to do today.
Yes.
He accused you of being involved with drugs. He accused you of a whole lot of felonious conduct. And he said you didn't represent him well. He shouldn't have been in jail because he took a plea. He seems like an intelligent man, except that he made three children with a woman with whom he can't decide to marry. Refers to as his fiancée, which is sort of ridiculous. You understand that, Mr. Strinehart, don't you? I mean, you want to say, the mother of my children, that's fine. But you don't have a fiancée. How old is your oldest child?
Five.
Yeah, it's a long time, sir. And then you keep practicing. It's ridiculous.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Halfway through it, he says, I can't go to trial. I'm busy.
Too busy for $5,000.
Hey, Mr. Clark.
Yes, Your Honor, sorry.
Try to behave yourself. You're a lawyer. I assume you passed the bar someplace.
California.
That's unbelievable.
Right?
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Attorney David Clark says former client Jason Strihars owes for unpaid fees, harassment, and extortion. Jason is countersuing for the return of the fees he's already paid.
Now, I want you to tell me what you mean when you say he voided the contract, because you have a countersuit. Your countersuit said, I want all my money back because he didn't represent me well, and I shouldn't have been in jail.
Okay.
When you took your plea, judge say to you, you're taking this plea because you're guilty?
Yes.
Did anybody promise you anything? Did anybody threaten you in any way? Are you making this admission, this plea of guilty, freely and voluntarily? Remember the judge said that to you? Or, you remember the judge said that to you? It's something we learn in school. It's a script. It's a judge's script. They give you all of your... Are you helping
me? It's a minute order, Your
Honor. Just a second. Are you helping me? I don't need
your help. No. I'm just... Wait,
I don't need your help.
Anticipating...
I just recite that in my sleep. Okay?
Yes.
You're giving up your right to have a trial. At that trial, the prosecutor would have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you committed the crime of whatever it was. And the judge said to you, you understand? And you said, yes. Took the plea because there was a pre-agreement that you were going to get how many days in jail?
It was a year in jail and probation.
Yeah, but that's not what you got.
No, I got 72 days in jail.
72 days.
And 4 years probation.
And 4 years probation.
Correct.
That's what you got. And you knew that that's what you were going to get going into this plea.
Right. It was either that or take it to trial and possibly get 4 years in prison. I asked Mr. Clark, who represents me, this is his job, this is what I paid him for, what do you believe I should do?
And?
He said, I think you should take the plea deal.
He said to you.
But the day that I go to turn myself into jail, he sits next to me, my mother was right there, and he says, you know what, Jason, I thought about this more, and we could have beat these charges.
So?
So it's a slap in the face. I asked him 10 times.
Jason, grow up. Grow up.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Okay, you owe him $1,000. That was your agreement. He represented you from start to finish. If you would have gone to trial, and they had video. They had video. That's what you told me.
I couldn't go to trial.
He wouldn't go to video.
We had an agreement that $3,000 would be preliminary, $5,000 would be trial. Halfway through it, he says, I can't go to trial. This was our agreement. I can't go to trial. I'm busy. I said, have you ever gone to trial?
Jason.
Too busy for $5,000.
Hey, Mr. Clark.
Yes, Your Honor, sorry.
Try to behave yourself. You're a lawyer. I assume you passed the bar someplace.
California.
That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Correct, of course.
Hey, listen. He didn't spend 72 days in jail. You did. That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. When I turned myself in, the bailiff at court said to me,
judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $1,000. Your counterclaim's dismissed. Don't tell me what a bailiff said to you.
Officer, excuse me. Step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He doesn't know nothing. He's on heroin. He's been arrested for burglary and for heroin possession.
Everyone has secrets of their past, and that was behind me. I did get, you know, get help for all that good stuff.
One of those live and learn type things. And when you go to court and your attorney looks like he's the client and you're the attorney, you probably got a problem.
I know he's coming from a tough situation. He needed money, but to try to shake down your lawyer, that's out of line, and it needs to stop.